It is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 o'clock in the East Coast. It is 8 p.m. in the Middle East. Today, August 18, 2014, and this is The Impossible Truth. My name is Orly Benny Davis, and I am here to talk to you about the world's events and to speak to you, some friends and policymaker, about the world and what's going on. Today we have a very special friend with us, a friend that I've been witnessing for so long, and I'm so happy and honored that they welcome. He's a colonel in the reserve, in the Army Reserve. He's a judge, and he's a congressman. Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina, welcome to the show.
Boy, it's an honor to be with you, and indeed you're a dear friend of mine, and I sincerely appreciate it. It was just 13 years ago that you helped me be elected to Congress, and I'm honored to be on the Armed Services Committee, and also equally honored, something that I'm very, very proud. I give all credit to my wife. We have four sons serving in the military of the United States.
Yes, they are, and they are a wonderful family, and I love them all. And your service, sir, is an example to all policymakers. And I hope that we can work together to make a difference in this world. You know, Congressman, today is the first day of school, so we wanted to wish all the children in South Carolina and around the USA for a great new start, a great year of enjoyment and pleasure, and I hope they enjoy learning and make a better world for themselves, because the mess we are all in can teach us how wrong sometimes we can go. So I would like to have your opinion of what, you know, your perspective from out there about what's going on in the Middle East. I know that you're on the Armed Committee, a committee that is very, very important to all of us, and Israel is very thankful for all this, you know, the help that America has been giving through the years and especially the last month. You know, in the last month, we saw the Congress united for the first time unanimously to help and stand by Israel. And maybe it's a good sign. You know, maybe Israel can unite America to bring her to a different page in history, because America needs a break, and we hope and we pray that we can bring back our troops, you know, from in Israel and in America, in Iraq, to make sure that they're all well. Your Honor, I know it's really, really complicated for many people, listeners, and but I know that you know something about it. And what you guys are doing in Iraq is saving life, is honor to America, is honor to the world, because once again, America is taking the stage to show the world what is right and wrong.
And Orly, making a difference, you're so correct, and indeed, I grew up with a great appreciation. My dad served in the Flying Tigers, the 14th Air Force of the Army Air Corps, serving in India and China. And so he helped make a difference, the independence of India and Pakistan. Additionally, victory over the Japanese to save millions of Chinese lives. And so that inspired me. And then I'm very grateful I actually was in the Army Reserve National Guard, and in training. It did not serve overseas, but my two oldest sons served in Iraq. My oldest was field artillery in Iraq, received a combat action badge. My second son has been a doctor, serving with the Rangers and the SEALs in Iraq. My third son is a signal officer, and he has served with Bright Star in Egypt. And my youngest son, Hunter, just returned from service in Afghanistan last year as an engineer. So I know the good that our military can do and has done, and that's why I'm optimistic that despite the violence that's occurring, that long-term, indeed, America has made such a positive influence. And Orly, we need to understand that today, with the victory that was achieved just 25 years ago in the Cold War, there are more countries today that live in freedom and democracy than in the history of the world. And I give so much credit of that to the American military standing firm, defeating communism, the Soviet Union imploding, and allowing for freedom of the Baltic states all the way through to Bulgaria, all of Eastern and Central Europe. So I'm very, very hopeful, and we do have serious challenges. The rocket attacks from Gaza must be addressed to defend the people of Israel, and then we must defend the people of Iraq from the jihadists who are professional mass murderers.
Right, they are. And what is happening right now, a new state for the Kurds is emerging, something that sometimes conflict can evolve to, because there are 30 million Kurds that never got a state, and they have the rights to their own liberty. And in that, you know, using that and helping them create a safe haven, it actually can create a new state, and it's something wonderful. So you are actually a part of great things that are happening in history, and we are really, really happy that the American people can be once again proud of the military and understand how much effort and how much gift they have, you know, have being in America. And I used to live in America, and I love her, and sometimes people say to me, you're American or Israeli? I said, I don't know where America start with me and when Israel finish. It's like one thing for me. It's being a part of liberty, freedom, and you know, the right to become who you want. And you're an example of what people can become when they choose the right thing. You work hard, and I saw your calendar many times, and I don't know how you do that. And I can reflect on the time I've been walking with you on Congress floor, and I'm saying, God, how much, you know, work you guys have. And I bless you for that, I pray always for your success, because your work for the state of Israel, as, you know, not just as a congressman, as a human who understands what is the liberty for the Jewish people means. Especially the act that you were presenting about Jerusalem, the resolution H.R. 131 for the holy places that we all still have to combat, to have a freedom of religion. That was an example of what worship, you know, freedom of worship represent. And you, sir, help us represent our case, and we thank you for that. And I wonder, you know, today is the day that we have a ceasefire agreement deadline. Tonight they will decide if they want to continue the war or not. American position in this conflict is very clear. They have to stop shooting. But what else? You know, once they stop shooting, they don't know where else to go. And, you know, they need to dismantle the arms. That's what I think. You know, I'm not, you know, a policymaker or anybody who can change things around. But I know that if you want to start a life, you stop shooting at people first, at your neighbor, and then you can start having a state. You can build up a life for everybody around. And you know, Gaza is a very nice strip of land. You know how real estate can be, you know, manufactured to be well-groomed, and income can come, tourists can, you know, visit. I don't know why they decide to fight us instead of thinking about the future.
Well, it's really sad, because indeed Gaza could be, as Israel hoped, the Singapore of the Mediterranean in the Middle East, and it would have been so positive. And I've seen things positive, and you hit back in regard to the Kurdish region of Iraq. That was the no-fly zone, where the United States and Britain stopped Saddam Hussein from attacking the Kurdish population, and they have established a very modern and economically viable Kurdish region of Iraq. I know another example, too. Early last year, I had the opportunity to visit Kosovo, and I was there visiting Army National Guard troops from South Carolina who are helping maintain order, actually protecting the Muslim population, to build a dynamic country there, Kosovo, to allow for Bosnia and Herzegovina to equally develop and become part of the European Union. And so we know that the American military personnel can have a very positive role in protecting populations, whether it be a Muslim population in Kosovo or, again, an Islamic population in the Kurdish region. Over and over again, but you hit it on the head. In Gaza, the emphasis should be on economic development, not on building rockets.
Exactly. And, you know, thinking about education, sir, something very surprising. People think about the American economy that had a really big crisis since 2008, and we all felt it. However, America has so much resource of knowledge that she can share and sell to the world. I know that there are universities in the world, American University of Teachers. I never met one in Israel, which I wonder why we don't have an American university in Israel, which is shameful because we need to have a branch, University of South Carolina. I would love that very much. But education is something that teach them how to build up a life. And what I know, looking at what they're doing, they are not capable of building up a life because they never did it before. You know, all these cliches, this is their land. They've never been a state called Palestine, so they don't know how to build it back. The Jewish people came back. They knew what to do. They built up the country, and now we're waiting, you know, to build up and finish Jerusalem. But for some time, for some reason, people think that, you know, the Bible doesn't mean nothing when Jerusalem is the city, the holy city for all the world to come and visit. And instead of letting us build it and make it holy and bring all the embassies, so all the world will be blessed. You know, everybody in his own faith. Everybody's in his own, you know, faith and understanding of what God is, but it's supposed to be holy. Right now, it's Jerusalem is still in battle, and it's really shameful when the Palestinians are asking to have Gaza to be recognized as a state, and we don't even have the capital of the Jewish people, where it's in the Bible from biblical time belongs to the Jewish people. Something, you know. When we want to fix the world, sir, we need to start doing right. And what you guys are doing right now in Iraq is a blessing. It's a blessing because before God and before humanity, you're doing the right thing. And, you know, there is no word that is right, but saving life is sacred. And you guys will be so much blessed because you took the effort, you know, with all the conflict, with all the battles that you have to have, but you still doing the right thing. That will bring America back in charge. And whatever happens in Ukraine, it's something that we have all to discuss. Because for some reason, you know, you just mentioned the European Union, and I say every country under the European Union collapsed economically. I don't understand why we still keep on pushing them to be economically, dependent on the European Union, where the economy is in disastrous shape. So when, I know Ukraine is very sensitive to the Russians. I know the European Union wanted it, and they have a lot of nuclear power there. They have energy there. There is a strategic place there. And America should think really, really sensibly about what it means, you know, when we bug the big Russian there. We have to understand that when we start something like that, we might create a conflict. And, you know, if we're looking back in September, there was a great collaboration between America and Russia to dismantle the arms in Syria. And that was a first, but it happened, and we didn't send troops. Nobody sent troops there, and they did what was right. And I think that we need to reconsider this time of war, this time of conflict, this time of understanding brings up, you know, like the Kurds will have a state, God willing, for them. America will start leading the world again, you know, full blast, like supposed, and maybe a new cooperation in the world for a better tomorrow, for all the kids that go in here, you know, the first day in school in America, and all over the world, you know, they need to know that the leaders are doing the right thing. And I trust I trust you. I know that your heart is in the right place, and you always did the right thing.
Well, you began with education, and I'm really excited. I've had the opportunity to serve on the board of trustees of the American University in Bulgaria. And so now, of course, Bulgaria is a dynamic capitalistic free market democracy. And the American University, though, I had found out it started almost 100 years ago. It was part of the Middle East network of American universities in Egypt, across the Middle East. I've also had the opportunity to lecture at the American University in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, the Kyrgyz Republic, Central Asia. And I've also I've worked with the American University in Moscow. And back again to Russia, I'm just really hopeful that we know that Russia can be, as you just identified, positive. And I think, sadly, the current president of that country is leading them in a negative way. Russia should be a very positive part of an integrated, free market democracy spreading all over Asia and Europe. It would be very positive for the people of Russia, but there's an isolation that's developing that I think is negative for the people of Russia. But I'm still hopeful, Orly. And hey, with your positive attitude and with
I believe that in September they show us that they want to come and play a role. And you know, something we have to give. You know, we really, really didn't give enough credit to the history, in fact. You know, they are a great country that's been around for 1,000 years, and they want to be, you know, to have a place in the table to talk. And they don't want, and I don't talk for them, you know, I'm American for all means, and, you know, and I always stand with America. But sometimes when you stand on the side, you said, hey, and the balance of power, maybe this new day is bring together, because we have to defeat a common enemy, and the common enemy doesn't look at us in any nation in the world. They don't consider us. They just want the infidels to be gone. And we need to, all the power and all our friends to, you know, dismantle them from the weapon and to take charge back the world. So I say more friends I have in this place, in the world around, it will help us all. So I'm not saying that whatever they're doing in Ukraine is right. I don't think that the European Union is a blessing to, in any form of shape, to economic development, because I saw Italy trashed when I used to be in Italy, and Italy was flourishing. The European Union did not do its share to develop them. They just raised their prices and put them to, you know, in shambles. So I don't think that, you know, pushing another country and another country to the European Union is good, because it gives, you know, the bigger power more control over the region. I think that right now a common, you know, common stage to talk to everybody, whoever wants to talk and be a part of defeating the global enemy, will come to the table, and we can make a new day, sir. You know, like the tigers that your father brought, you know, to South Carolina, the first one, and saved them. You know, just start the whole thing. And you, like the countries that you have in history that built, we can start a new day. And we have to start at least thinking about it, because if not this way, we're going nowhere. We cannot divide. And the same goes for Congress. Congress needs to unite and, you know, understand that this is a global threat, and whatever comes, it's we all together in it.
You're so right, and indeed, we have common enemy, and that's what's been disappointing about Russia, in that the common enemy, they've already suffered the consequence, and that is with the Chechen jihadists who have blown up schools, they've blown up theaters, blown up airplanes. Jet.
Right.
The same thing applies to the People's Republic of China. They have jihadists who are Uyghurs, who are eager to blow up the modern cities of China today. And so we have a common enemy, and we already know that the attacks on the United States of 9/11 on New York, Pennsylvania, Washington, that was part, really, as you just identified, of a global threat. But it's been against America, against Russia, against China, certainly against Israel, against the modern states of the Persian Gulf and Egypt. All of these countries have suffered from, and Lebanon, the attacks by jihadists who are seeking global domination, but they're not going to succeed. because of good people like Orly Benny Davis.
Oh, sir, thank you so much. You know, sir, I'm thinking about that, and I'm saying we can make a difference. We can. This is right now. It started in 9/11 2001. This global effort for the terrorists to dismantle the world. We have to conclude it by uniting our the world together around a common good, education. Give the world the prosperity that they need by giving them tools to learn to build up their future. I think that America has much to gain, and I'm looking at the statistic right now, and I heard that so many people are buying houses in America. You get 6% of the household in America belong to foreigners. So it means like people investing in America. People believe in the future. Yeah.
Well, we want more investment. I'm a real estate attorney, so I've worked with persons from Canada, from India, buying homes in the United States, and we really do welcome foreign investments. The state that I live in, South Carolina, we're very grateful that BMW has their largest facility in the world located in South Carolina. And I'm very grateful that that's German investment, and then French investment. Michelin Tire Corporation makes tires in our state. 8 different businesses are employing thousands of workers. And then Bridgestone, which is Japanese, another tire company, makes tires in the district I represent. And Taiwan has invested in my home state of South Carolina. Formosa Plastics, Nanyang Plastics. Again, hundreds of people are employed. So America really benefits from foreign investment, and then we want other countries to benefit from American investment.
Of course, American investment comes with knowledge, something that other investors don't usually come with. And I thought about I came to South Carolina for a few last year, and I've been around this year. And I looked around and I saw the new South. The new South is rising up. There is a new building. It's beautiful. It's flourishing. I would love to see another aeronautic school, engineering school that we all need for the future. Something, more education so people can come and learn. It's a great environment, to come and study. And South Carolina is definitely a place that peace and godliness exists, and I bless you, sir, with all my heart for a continuation of your effort. A blessing to all your family and all the member. A big respect to Roxanne, and love and understanding that whatever in Israel we can do for America, we will. Because if you talk to any Israeli here, we all American in art, we all love America, and we appreciate her. And every day that they say that, America is very be mad at us, they're all so concerned. No, we love America, and we know that our friendship is forever because we base it on the truth, on something very, very real, something that will last forever, God willing.
And really it will, because we have APAC, which is the American-Israel Public Affairs Council, and they make such a difference. And in my home community, the John Baker family, the Bill Stern family, the Joe Rosen family, the Norman Arnold family, we have families who are strong supporters of Israel. And then the result of that is that as we were departing Congress last month, there was a vote 395-8. That's been the only issue that Democrats and Republicans have come together on, and that is supporting the Iron Dome program, protecting the civilian population. The bottom line is that, and I've been to Israel twice, it's so inspiring. We the people of Israel, how courageous, how confident, how educated, and positive. And hey, they want, the people of Israel want the best for the Middle East. They benefit by a very modern Lebanon, a very modern Jordan, a very modern Egypt, hopefully a positive change in Syria, hopefully positive change in continuing in Iraq, And I always point out how beautiful the Persian Gulf states are, how modern and educated they are, and I'm very hopeful for Saudi Arabia, too, that the Middle East should have a bright future, and Turkey itself should have a bright future.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, and you know, Turkey is still mad at us for some reason. I don't know. You know, Israeli used to go every summer, you know, fill up all their vacation time, and now they cannot go because for some reason they got some Islamic radical living there, which is very dangerous for their own state because you know what happens next. Islam is not something that the radical Islam, forgive me, Islam is a peaceful, loving religion, they'll say, but the radical one just want us to be dismissed. So I think that the region is going to turn into a stage of new partnership. I think that America and Russia can work together to evolve and make sure that we are going to be working together against this enemy. I think that bringing up education and, hey, Congressman, I would love to have you visit again Israel while I'm here. I'll be very honored to see your honor and walk, the street of Jerusalem, the holy city of God, together and understand that we can maybe pray together for the peace in the world.
That would be a real honor for me, and we're trying to work on scheduling right now, but I was so inspired by the people of Israel, but I was inspired. I've been to Turkey. I was inspired by their long democratic tradition now, almost 100 years, and so there's great hope, all of my visits, Julie, to the Middle East have been so positive, to Kuwait, to Bahrain, to Qatar, UAE, Dubai. Over and over again, I've seen just really positive people who want to live in peace. And I'm just, but I do know this, that the way to live in peace is there must be a strong military. And then to me, additionally, that's very important is that education continue of the population so people know better as to what the truth is.
Exactly. And we know the truth will be being honest before the world and God, doing the right thing, building one day at a time, and praying for the welfare of the others too. Congressman Wilson, I would appreciate you here. I would love to welcome you in the Holy Land. I thank you for your time, and I know it's your break, and I hope that you enjoy all your visit in South Carolina, and I know they love you so much, and they're happy to see you. I send all my best to all of you, and I hope to talk to you soon again, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, we love you,
Orly,
and this month has been a time where I get around the district. I'm going by bus and visiting all the different communities I represent. I go by schools and by businesses and by universities, and I meet with citizens, and it's my way to, in a democratic country, as a Republican, to meet with my citizens, to be accountable. And everywhere I go, people are strongly in support of a free Israel, and they want also the end of violence in the Middle East so that all the people in the Middle East can achieve a level of fulfillment and prosperity.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, sir, happy belated birthday. I didn't forget it was your birthday.
Thank you. I'm just
may it be your
be
best
18...
year ever.
Hey, well, no, to
hey,
you.
You're getting only better, sir. You're only getting better.
No, you're very sweet
God
to say
bless
that, but
you.
I'm honored. Hey, I'm honored to serve, and I've got an election in November. After the election, I'll be planning visits to the Middle East. So best wishes to you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, and Godspeed, Your Honor. Thank you.
Hey, Godspeed.
And let's get
bye-bye.
Your break. That was Congressman Wilson, which is a great friend of the world. He's a man of his world, and he works hard to help shape it. And God willing, we'll see wonders. And our next guest is as much as special. He's a friend, he's a judge, and a former general in the U.S. Army. Mr. Frank Simon, Your Honor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Orly. Pleasure.
It's such a great thing to have you on the show. And, you know, in the time of so much contemplation in the Middle East and what was going on in the last month, we had a war, you know, that it just jumped us in the middle of the summer. Everybody was ready to come to a vacation here, and they had to cancel. Everybody just didn't know what the heck is happening. All of a sudden, they start bombarding, and thank God for America and an Israel collaboration. We had the Iron Dome to protect us. But right now we have a new day, a new things when they want to investigate if we have the right to defend ourselves, if Israel has the right to defend himself, if America has the right to go elsewhere when, you know, they're attacking her. Sir, you know, as a judge, you've been serving for so many years. It'd been a little complicated to explain the world, you know, self-defense. And I wonder, what do you think about all these things? What kind of approach the world needs to receive from this end to understand us better?
Well, first of all, Orly, let me be sure that the record is clear that I'm speaking with you as a private citizen. I'm retired as a judge. I'm no longer a judge, and I am a major general in the South Carolina State Guard, not the United States Army, although I served in the Army on active duty during the Korean War. So I want to make that clear to your listeners. I think as in most cases where you analyze issues and try to come up with solutions, in business and professions and sports, it's a return to fundamentals and basics and the eternal verities that probably carry a day. So what I think about in terms of the context of your question and approach is that we had back in at the turn of the century, one of America's great presidents, I think he was the 26th president, Teddy Roosevelt. They called him the Rough Rider. He was a very active outdoor man, and he will go down in history in memory of one of his comments that we should speak softly and carry a big stick. And I think there's an analogy here to individuals and nations. Unfortunately, individual bullies and bully nations do not respond to diplomacy, and their language is to be, for want of a better word, I think, to be bullied in return. So I'm a big believer in carrying a big stick, speaking softly, understanding humanitarianism. But if you are attacked, whether it be on the street in New York City or South Carolina, I think you have a right and a duty to defend yourself. That's certainly not an unreasonable approach. That's not murder. That's self-defense. And I think that translates on a national and international scene as well. So, that's the essence of how I view the concept anyway.
The United Nations thinks that while, you know, they were shooting from houses and hospitals and, you know, hiding behind the general population, Israel should have had a different tactic than, you know, shoot back at them or, you know, bombard where they were shooting at. And you know what? They didn't stop. They didn't stop once. Israel was asking for ceasefire, for humanitarian aid. They didn't want to stop. Israel called about ceasefire to evacuate the people from the armed way. They refused. I remember thinking about six times that Israel was trying to get them to stop, but they insisted. And for some reason, this gone on, and tonight is the day, tonight they will decide if to start the war again. And by all means, you know, we want to have peace with our neighbor. We want them to have prosperity. They've been shipping, you know, opening the gates every time to send a truck's load of help to them. But all the money, the funds that they've been collecting over the years, they invested in tunnels. I don't understand how, you know, how the world can trust them again. Do we have any precedent to, you know, to say we cannot trust them with, you know, with this population? They need to disarm themselves, and then the world can come. There is a stage where, you know, if we pay back bully when they bully us, is that something the world is trying to do right now? Do you think would it go in a normal civil case, like somebody is bullying somebody and the other said, oh, you stop me, it's protection money, I think. It's corrosion. It's ain't right for the world to see, because what you do, you inflame it and they start all over the place. Now look what's happening elsewhere. And I think that the global understanding of what's right and wrong is a little obscure from reality. I think that people like you, sir, that serve on the court for so many years, that have a clear mind of how people can defend themselves or what is really right, and how we can all save those children. Nobody wants to hurt children or their mommy or the grandmother or the old fathers. We don't want, but they become all combat because they are in a combat zone.
Well, I think there's a lesson from history, as it always is, over and over again. We go back to Neville Chamberlain and Adolf Hitler, an issue of trust. And there are going to be leaders of factions and nations whose ambitions are have as their partner the devil, and they cannot be trusted. So therefore, we come back to self-defense and what we have to do. And unfortunately, and I don't have my own boots on the ground over there, but my guess is what you're saying about the tunnels is true, and consequently, there will be innocent people who will suffer. But that's the, you know, that the fault lies with the bad guys again. So I still come back to my premise of reasonable self-defense, both as an individual and as a country.
All right, that makes sense, because you know, for some reason they were starting to mix up the, you know, the nature of the question. If they let them be and let them continue, shooting missile, and Israel should hold their fire for some reason. I think that, you know, this stage, they might be getting the right signal, and they will stop shooting, and they'll start talking to the people. I know Egypt been playing a big role. America is busy right now in Iraq. Bless them. Bless them for what they're doing, because what they, you know, the troops in Iraq are saving life, and you know how they look. It's devastating to see what's going on. And the world says, you know, we Jews all say never again, because whatever happened in the Holocaust, we should, you know, remember and try to help. And I wish that, you know, Israel can come out and help us, help too, in this effort to save life. I know it's Iraq, it's crazy, but God willing, you know, giving the opportunity, I know they'll send doctors and they'll send supply, whatever, you know, we can do to help, because never again is count for everybody. It doesn't count for only one brand of people or any kind of religion. It's for humanity. And, you know, this global effort to talk to everybody, and maybe change the strategic partnership, and maybe think, reconsider who are the enemy are, you know, in this stage. Maybe it will bring up a new days. You know, after all, you know, this battle needs to end, because we all know that nobody wants to push the button. Nobody wants to end it. We saw the devastation of two wars, and the third one is not something we like. and we don't want to see, we don't want to fight. We can build a world. We have still sky to discover, a lot of ocean to cross, and children to teach, and we have a lot of things to do. I don't think that this generation will take it to the next level, and you know, maybe everybody now should pull back and see the picture and say, you know, it's time to reach out and help each other, unite in the forces of good to dismantle and give them no safe haven to any terrorist. And maybe, you know, they have to start with, you know, following the money. Because for some reason, if you have a Hamas leader running with $6 billion, I don't know how it can be, you know, why nobody's asking where the money come from. This is American money, the world money, and the Palestinian money. So maybe they should use that to help them reconstruct the Gaza Strip.
Well, certainly economics has always played a role, and it's no different now. I don't know the answer. I think part of it is human nature and the almost inevitability that we will have leaders who are in the mold of Adolf Hitler, and you cannot accomplish anything by diplomacy with that kind of a leader. They only understand getting slapped in the face, and I mean more than slapped in the face.
Oh, God. Okay, I got the right man for the show for tonight, just to remind everybody, you have always option to defend yourself. That's something that we all learned tonight. Your Honor, Judge Frank Simon, it was such a great time talking to you, and I bless you, and I miss you a lot, and I hope that you're having fun there in South Carolina, you know, where everybody having fun usually, you know. So I hope you keep enjoying the summer, and you have a wonderful, wonderful rest time there. And God willing, we'll see each other blessed. And what about coming to Israel one day?
Well,
you know, you still owe us that visit.
I wouldn't rule it out, but thank you so much for inviting me to participate in your program, Orly, and I hope you do come back and say hello soon. Thank you, and have
God
a good
willing.
Day.
God willing.
Okay.
You too,
bye-bye.
Sir. God bless you, and let's go to a break. And we are back. That was wonderful to speak to former Judge Frank Salmon about the stance of people who get attacked. And, you know, from Judge Place is very clear. You know, you have the right, and whatever you do, you have all the opportunity to talk and speak. But however, you have also that event where you have to use force. And we really have to think a moment about where we're going, because if we think about all this confusion, it's an opportunity, as the master always say, you know, they always say, every time there is a challenge, it's a time of opportunity. And what is the opportunity? The opportunity to make a new world. This new world order that they were talking about is opportunity for us to take it in consideration and say, hey, we want it in a better way. We want to make more alliances. You know, sometimes we fought about the energy, and we understand now that the energy needs to be divided if we want to be fair and if we want to be good. And the fact that the powerful take it all is not always right, because at the end they'll collapse, because there is a God and it's not us. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that we have to be as positive as we can to the next generation and reflect on what we're doing. And if they see us destroying a world, they lose respect for us. They don't follow us in a good way. And we have to remember we have the responsibility for the world that we live in. We come to this world, and we need to make amends out of it. And we have to take this opportunity now. This is the time, tonight. Tonight is a night where they have to decide if they want to go to the negotiation table in in Egypt and start talking business. They need to decide if they want to come and decide to, there is a state of Israel. It's going to be there, and nothing they can do about it. And, you know, it's really funny, and I remind them always and again, they are half-brothers, and it's family, you know, it's family dispute. They need to get over it in order for them to have a life. For some reason, our God, they decide it doesn't have a space, and our God is might, and everybody believes is might too, and for some reason we need to come to a conclusion that they have to accept us all. We have to accept everybody. We need to defeat right now a very, very bad disease in Africa, something that comes out of the blue. What do you think, guys, with this global economy and globalization where everybody is going everywhere, don't you think that it can spread? Why we have to start fighting when we have so much to deal with? We have so much to build, and this building can be awesome. This world can be better because we are better than that. We are not in the sticks age. We're not in the stone age. We are in a place of enlightenment, where we learn, we transmit over across the ocean. I speak to you from Israel. You hear me over the internet. Wherever you are, or blessed you are, wherever you are, let's pray together. Let's pray together that tonight will be a start where they start listening to us and understanding that we can make a better future for everybody. And it doesn't matter where you're born poor, you're born rich. We all in here, everybody is right now, doesn't have much to be proud of. You know, you can run, you know, the best place in the world, but if you are living in luxury and everybody's poor, I don't think you are really happy, because the happiness comes when you know you are well off, but your neighbor are too, that nobody comes to hunt you. And Israel's space in the world, it's not something that, you know, people consider to be mighty. Right now they have an all alert. And they have actually application in the computer, how to detect which products come from Israel, and then don't buy it. It's like they think that they can stop buying Israeli product, and that's how they're going to hurt Israel. Now, give me a reason why to hurt Israel. Give me a reason why Israel is such an incredible state, an incredible world that's created from nothing, flourished, and people think that it's not to be. And look at your iPhone. You know, the iPhone you use every day, you know, probably there is a chip there. You know, Microsoft is here too, and all the big global, you know, people. This is Israel is the nation for the Jewish people, right? It was created because Jewish people were persecuted. It was created based on the idea that anti-Semitism is something that exists and exists again and again. And sure enough, we're showing it, we're seeing it all over the place here. And we had a reason to come back to our land after so many years. After 2,000 years, we walked in the desert and they you know, from the time of Pharaoh, we came to the land of Israel, we built a nation, oops, they destroyed the temple, the first temple, then we came again and they built another temple, and they destroyed it again because for some reason they want us all to comply with their understanding of their mighty power. And every time power wants to overcome people, every time power wants to subdue the right, the spirit of a mankind, it will always lose. It will always lose, because there will be a day that there will be a more powerful person, a more powerful nation, and more powerful people. Now, if you think that the might will help you, well, think again, because tomorrow it won't, because you won't be the strongest. So what kind of weapon you actually have? You don't. This is not a weapon. It's a destructive mode. It's how to destroy yourself little. So if you think about destroying another country, you think again, because somebody else will come and destroy the other side. So we have so much to do. We are here, and the people are not talking. The world leaders are trying, but not in codes. There is no one power or some people who we can all trust and say, yes, I can trust that person. That leader will lead us the right way, and this group of people will show us the way. We have to pray that we have the global understanding that we need to create a better day. We have to think what we're doing, because this will be our tomorrow. We have to use our thinking, our thoughts, our love, our hearts, our grace of God, you know, and build a better day. I think that today you heard some people who can give you the hope and understanding that we can go many places. It's up to you. You can take it and make it better. You can destroy it and start all over. Are you kidding me? Who wants to start all over? You know, this is not happening. You know, you have to come to a different idea. Okay, let's start to think about the better idea. You know, destruction. Weapon is a good game for sometimes. It's over. Now we need to create our own new world. There is a new technology. There is a new communication. I have to tell you something. I've been talking about something like this for so many years, I can't remember me stopping talking about it, and I can't believe I never told you guys all. I was thinking about the center of, you know, globalized economy. Once the 2001, the Destroyer World Trade Center, we never built it in the Internet. And this is, of course, it's a great idea, and nobody comes through and actually built it. I thought about it for so many years. I want to think that we have something in common. I want to share product from all over the world, and I want to sell it. Like, you can detect where it comes from now in this gadget that was anti-Jewish state. Now you have Jewish people doing all the great thing, you know, Facebook, all the stuff that you're using. Are you sure you want to get rid of those products? I don't think so. So let's think again. We forgive you. Of course, we love you. We don't care. We don't care what was happening yesterday. We don't. We want tomorrow. Yesterday is over. Tomorrow is still open. Let's take it to the next level. Let's make this world better. Something they didn't do before. This is new. We can create a new tomorrow. So I hope that we'll do it. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this was The Impossible Truth. God bless you all. I love you, and thank you, Doug, for helping me through. See you the next time. God bless you.